always enjoy good singing. And that was beautiful. All right. And we've got some new faces with us today. I won't point you out. Some of you I've seen before, some of you I haven't. But we're going to jump right in tonight. We're going to get started immediately. The title of the message will be, Why We Seek Heavenly Support. And I'm going to walk around because I can't sit still. Hope that doesn't distract you. I'm going to hold this paper. And it's why we seek heavenly support. And we're going to start off by saying this. It's why do we seek heavenly support, or why do we depend on the gifts that God gives to guide us through life? And I've been thinking about this all week long. And actually, it started last week, and I'd write a little bit, and I try to put it all into words, and it really has really come together yesterday. I really struggled with what I should say. I've been thinking about it for a little bit, and when I see you guys as a group, and I see what you do, and I see the way you treat each other, I see Jesus. I really do. I watch you guys, and you guys impress me. In fact, sometimes to the point of I know that this youth group here is going places that are special. I mean, special too, that other people can look at you and notice it. We're going to start reading. We're going to read one verse. And it's going to be in Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27. And this is going to be the whole message is going to be based off of mostly from this verse. And it says, And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulders, and his yoke from thy neck. And the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. All right, well, let's pray. Lord, we come to you tonight thankful, Lord, that you'd bring us all here safely. Lord, I thank you for all of these youth that you've put in here. Lord, I pray that the things that come to pass tonight and the things that I say tonight would be pleasing to you. And I pray that hearts would be changed, Lord. And if there be somebody that's got a burden on their heart, Lord, they would leave it at the altar. Lord, I pray if there's one here that's not saved, that tonight would be the night that they change their mind. Lord, we thank you for the many things that you've given us. Lord, we thank you for Jesus. Lord, as we get ready to celebrate Christmas, we lift up the name of Jesus, Lord. It's the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. All right. Now, here we go. Piece of scripture that we just read is referring to Jewish people and the burden placed on them by the Assyrians. Is anybody familiar with the story? Okay, well, all right. Verse 27 was foretelling of a time that was going to come that God was going to remove the burden that was hanging from the people. I'm not a super biblical, knowledgeable guy. I don't really know. You see what I'm saying? I know a lot of Isaiah, but not as much as I would like to know. But I will try to explain this the best that I can. I'm going to put it in the best words so maybe that you can get a full understanding of what I'm saying. The people were under an oppressor. They had been there for a little bit. They had been mistreated and maybe even abused. But the way that God put it in the book is he referred to the mistreatment or the burden, he referred to it as a yoke. Do you know what a yoke is? You know what a yoke is? Okay, or an ox. Let's go with an ox. That fits this purpose pretty good. But God gives us that right there. He said he's going to remove the yoke from off the neck and it'll be destroyed. And if God was going to remove the yoke, then you can imagine that's going to be a big, large burden removed from them. And tonight I'm going to tell you what that means for you and I. In 3 points. 3 gifts that God's given us. One, number one, we can confidently take a path that God has given. And I did say confidently. And you think, okay, sure, God has a path for us. He talks about it in Matthew. He absolutely does. But I added confidence in there for a reason. Because when you're following the Lord and you know that you're going down the right path, you can do it with confidence. You don't do it reluctantly. Do you see what I'm saying? Does that make any sense to you? You don't just, you don't follow the Lord, you know, like this. You know how when you walk on the end of a diving board for the first time, you ease out there, especially if you're afraid of water. And this verse can be looked at like this. Satan does the very same thing to you that he will to anybody, just like me or any other young person. When it refers to the yoke as being the one that's the burden or the oppressor, you know, Satan stands in the background and does the very same thing. He waits on you. You're young, and this is a time for him to move. And when we look at our surroundings, do you ever find a spot in your life where you're not happy with something? You got something you're not happy about? You know, everything looks good, but this little part. And that's a time where Satan will use that opportunity to create your yoke. You remember the yoke we're talking about earlier, right? Let's define it. The description of a yoke is a harness or a set of straps or a fitting that a horse or an ox or anything would be fastened to that would pull a cart or reins. Who knows what reins are? You know, you see them in cowboy movies all the time. All those things. And it's controlled by a driver. It gives the driver the control over the animal. And when an ox is very young, say, you know, little like this right here, what? Yes, absolutely. Just like that. Okay. But an ox, when they start off, they're very small, but they grow up to be very big. Has anybody ever seen a full-grown oxen? Or ox? Oxen would be more than one, I think. I think that's two. All right. Or more. Either way. But if you once they start when they're small, they'll put a yoke on the ox when they're just a baby. And the reason that they do that is because they'll get used to it being there. Because if you were to try to put a yoke on a full-grown ox, it's bigger than you are, and it's going to push you around. It's larger than you. You can't control it at that point. So if you'll start when they're young, they'll become used to it. It becomes natural. The yoke is there, and everything goes as planned. They're under the master's control. It's heavy and it's a burden, and over time the animal learns to function with it. But can you imagine as a child, say at your age right now, if somebody come up to you and said, "Here, I got this collar. I'm going to put this on you right here." And you're walking around with this big collar on your neck right here. We're going to call it a yoke. Would that bother you? Think about if you had to walk around with a yoke on your neck all the time. Would it be a burden to you? But could you learn to live with it? You sure? How about if I started just a little bit at a time? I just put just a little part of the yoke on, just held it, didn't let the weight hit you. Would it be easier? No? See, the problem is Satan is trying to put a yoke on you right now. If he can get you now, maybe you'll never develop into being what God has in store for you. Maybe he's going to keep you off of that path that we were talking about. See, the problem with Satan's plan is that you're smarter than an ox. I think most, yeah. You're smarter than an ox. Okay. So he can't just walk up to you and hand it to you and give it to you. He's got to do it differently. It's got to be different. He's gonna word it a little bit differently. Tell me if this sounds familiar. If you try it this one time, just once, it won't be so bad. And if you don't like it, you don't have to do it again. You get what I'm saying? Satan will tell you, "Look, you just try it once." Could be drugs. Could be any of those things. Any sin. Just try it once. And if you try it once and nothing bad happens, think about it. I tried it one time and, you know, the world didn't end. It could. You're funny. So, the world didn't end. So, this is what he'll do. He'll say, "Okay, look, that wasn't so bad. You survived. Let's try it again." And if you'll notice, sometimes those things that he offers you may look like fun. Looks like fun. Again, you're young. I'm going to get you right now. That's what he's saying. I'll get you right now. So, as time goes on, you look and you've tried it more and more and more, and you begin to let your guard down. It's not the same thing. It's still a little bit fun, but it becomes more of a burden. You look up and you realize, wait a minute. This isn't as fun as it used to be. Now I have to do it. I can't just go along and just halfway enjoy it now. It's a burden on me and I can't get away from it. And I'll tell you where I got this message from. I was watching a preacher on YouTube talk about a situation that was very important to him, and it affected him greatly. He was a pastor of a big church, and he was telling a story, and he was in his street clothes, and he was down front, and he was talking to a bunch of people, a bunch of youth, and he said that he had just gotten back from a week-long travel of having to take his son to a place that they were going to leave him for 1 year. And he said his son was a very talented young man, but he'd gotten in some trouble. He said the last time that he put eyes on his son was throwing up in the bushes before he went into the rehab center. Then he had to drive off because that was the rules. And while his son was throwing up in the bushes, he had to drive off and look at him on the way by. And he began to tell why his son was throwing up in the bushes. He had been knocked off his path. He had fell victim to drug use. And he couldn't get over it. But he'd come to the point where he was willing to go to rehab. And the rules were this. He would get a couple of phone calls for the first week. Again, he's willing. He surrendered himself. The pastor said he got 30 minutes down the road and his telephone rang. And it was his son using one of his phone calls. And that phone call was to tell his dad, to remind his dad that he knew everything about the book and everything about the Bible, but he had just turned his life over to Jesus Christ. He had been there 30 minutes, and he had been saved. He had been around it his whole life. And that made his dad happy. And you think that that's the end of the story, but that's not. A few days later, the pastor's phone rang again. Hello? It was his son again. And his son was overjoyed for this reason right here. This was his excitement. I want you to put yourself in this spot. You know what his excitement was for? That he was able to eat a half a hot dog and hold it down for the first time in years. Can you imagine your joy being, I got to eat a hot dog and keep it down? That sounds, you know, it's kind of strange. But what if you couldn't eat a meal without throwing it up? Because your addiction had gotten that bad. Do you think that at some point that young man's life was just like this? This is just fun. I'll just try it once. I can quit whenever I want. It doesn't have to be drug use. That's just the example that I used. And see, when he allowed sin to get into his life, we know that sin is displeasing to God and it affects our spiritual relationship. The Bible teaches us that God is holy and cannot be part of anything wicked. If we read Psalms chapter 5, verse 4, it covers that. It says, for thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. So you start to see this put together and you start to understand that this young man that has gotten wrapped up in drugs knew everything there was to know from his dad about being a pastor. He knew lots of things about the Lord. But he didn't know the Lord personally. He surrendered himself, and he come about out on the other side with a long road ahead of him. But he was heading down the right path. In Matthew 6:24, it says something a little different. It says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Now, there was a point in that guy's life where he had to choose his path. He was going to serve the Lord that he knew about. Did not say no, that he knew about. Or he was going to do the things that he wanted to do. And I think we all know which path he chose. You know, I mentioned a path a few moments ago, a way that God wants me to go. But I want you to understand there is a way. There is a way that God wants you to go. The Holy Spirit leads us to that way. And it will lead us away from danger. David said, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in path of righteousness for his name's sake. Psalms 23. Matthew 7:14, it says, but straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. And you can look at this guy's life and you can question, how did he get so far off? But the truth about it is, Jesus is the only path that there is that's going to lead to the Lord. That's it. There's no other path. There's not another one. So Jesus is the path. If our heart's desire is to be like Jesus, and we take that path, we're going down the right road. Think of the people that watch you every single day. Just to observe the things that you do. Because all of you proclaim to be a Christian, right? Do you say, I'm a Christian? I know most of you. Most of you do. But think about the people that see you. Can they tell if you didn't say, I'm a Christian? Would they know? So the question is, what do we do? We move on to point number two. We have the Holy Spirit for guidance. John 14:16. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto him. You remember we started this, we're talking about heavenly support. And God's given us a path that is a gift to us. But that is heavenly support. A comforter, the Holy Spirit. And because because I'm saved and because you're saved, we understand what the Holy Spirit is. But what if you're not saved? What if you don't know who the Holy Spirit is? You know, there's a misconception among young people your age. I'd say even 30 and below. Tell me if this seems accurate to you. That God is way far off in another galaxy. And that Jesus, when he left, went way off out there in another galaxy. And that while he's gone, we're going to live this life. And then when he comes back, that he's going to look at our life and he's going to pull up our records. And then there's going to be a balance. And if you were good more than you were bad, you'll go to heaven. But if you were bad more than you're good, you're going to go to hell. That is the mentality that some people have. But the truth about it is, that's the farthest from the truth. You can't back that up from the Bible. That's not true in any way. If there's been a time when you told God that you want him to save you and that you're a sinner and you believe Jesus Christ is your Savior and you meant it, then the Holy Spirit now dwells within you. See, now, if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you right now, or whenever the Holy Spirit speaks to you, it's not accidental. It's on purpose. See, there's no replacement for the authority and the protection that Jesus Christ gives you and the Holy Spirit pours out on you when you seek him. See, Satan is going to wait until the opportunity is absolutely prime to put in front of you to see if he can get that yoke around your neck. And I tell you this because it is going to happen. You're going to be tempted for things to go badly in your life. There's going to be a time where you have to make a decision. The Holy Spirit will whisper in your ear and remind you when you've gotten off your path. Pretty funny story that happened to me this week. I'm an admission stand worker. It's not a glorious job by any means, but people bring their cars in and I plug them into a computer and that tells me whether they pass or fail. And it loses its luster after about day number two. I've been doing it for a while. But I don't care if you're a Ford man or a Chevy girl or any of those things. Whichever brand you like, I'm good with it. Don't bother me a bit. I'm standing at the admission stand and this car comes around the corner and I'm going to tell you now, it's a luxury sports car. You know, you know, they get out with their pinky up in the air. This is my luxury sports car. All right. Well, cool. Come on in. How are you? Hi, I'm Alan. Nice to see you. Nice to meet you. And hopefully they didn't come in last year because I've forgotten their names. And they're going to say, hey, Alan. And I'm going to be like, hey, you, because I don't remember. And They hop out of the car, and it's a woman and her daughter. And they started off very kind. And then the daughter comes around the car, and then she says this, "I can't stand Chevy." Wow, where'd that come from? I didn't know that was a topic of conversation. They're pieces of junk. I wouldn't have one. We had two of them, and they were 2015s, and they both broke. So we had to give them back, and we got this sports car. And if I recall correctly, this was a retest. And I don't know if you know what a retest means in the world of emissions. Let me tell you what that means. That means you've already failed one time. And this one's free. So you come in here and you start telling me how bad Chevy is, but here's what you didn't look. 10 foot away, you never bothered paying attention to what the guy's truck is that's about to test your car. And I'm thinking, so I defend Chevy just a little bit because I truly don't think Chevy is superior to any of the... There are some good brands and some bad brands, and Chevy's just somewhere in the mix. And so I said, well, you know, every car and every truck has their flaws, you know. And then she continues to go back with it again. So I defend GM slightly again because they do have some problems, and she had some valid points. And it got to the point to where I was ready to tell her and point out the fact, you just brought me a retest from your luxury sports car, Miss Fancy. But the Holy Spirit come along and said, Alan, sometimes it's best for you to remain silent. And I say that, and that's funny, but that's the truth. Because he knew that I was going to say something I could not get back. Not that I would say anything harsh, but I was about to maybe sacrifice some of the value of the relationship between myself and them. Because maybe I was going to say something that was going to hurt their feelings. Maybe I was going to remind them what I thought about their sports car. But that's what God gives us. That is another gift. It's heavenly support. When you hear support, you think military, right? Like you radio in, beep, beep, beep. We need ammo and food. But it's similar to the same thing. When you talk to the Lord and you tell Him you need something or He gives you something, it's because it's support. You need it. And the third thing, and possibly the hardest to really wrap up in a message, is we have God's written word. This thing right here. Who has one? Who has one? Raise your hand if you got one. Because if you don't, I'm going to get you one. Somebody in this room is going to get you one. Because I guarantee a lot of these people have more than one, and they'll be glad to share them with you. See, God has placed His instruction on how to be in contact with Him in the book. It's in the Bible. Gives us every detail on what it takes to have a real connection with Jesus Christ. So again, just like before I got to point number two, I'll ask you. So what do we do now? I'm about to give you something that's philosophical. Mind-blowing. Are you ready? You ready for this? You ready to write it down? Read it. Read it. Remember a message that we talked about in here, the best text message that you could ever have? Who remembers that? Does anybody remember that? If you don't remember, it means I didn't do a good job. But best text message yet right here. God sent you a text message. Look at it. It's a big one now. It's a big one. Look in the Bible. Read the Bible. It's in there. Somewhere in that book, if you have a question, there is an answer. It's in the book. If you have a problem, there's a solution. Everything is there. God did that on purpose too. You ever been in a car with a crazy old man that won't listen to instructions? I'm serious. Oh, Tommy, they're pointing at you, buddy. Have you ever been in a car with a crazy old man that won't take instruction from his wife about where they're going? I'm lost. No, I'm not. We're lost. No, we're not lost. I know exactly what I'm doing. Just sit over there. We're going to get there. And that's, you stole my next point. They will not stop and ask for directions. There can be a map in the dashboard, and they won't do it. I've been there. I've been in the car in an awkward position going, man, I wish he would just ask for some instructions. We are lost. The thing about it was, would you, if the map was in the dashboard and you're driving around, what is the logical thing to do? Stop. Look at the map. Look at it. It's right there. You see, this is a map. God's given it right here. And you see some of the troubles in the world today and some of the troubles in the young people, and you think, how come it's so clear to some of us that we see where it may go wrong, but other people don't see it? And sometimes you wonder, maybe if I just had a chance to speak to them, or maybe if they would read the Bible, maybe the Holy Spirit would speak to them, that they would do it differently. See, the truth is, Satan wants you to be that crazy old man. Satan put pride in front of that guy. He's not asking for help. So that yoke's around his neck. The truth about it is, once that yoke's around your neck, it's a lot harder to get off. Somebody else is driving at that point. Do you consider God's plan when you get up in the morning? Do you consider what the Lord would have you do? Is there a time when you get up in the morning? Who's a morning person? We have any morning people in here? I'm a morning person. My wife is not a morning person. Christmas morning? Yeah. Yay! Everybody's excited on Christmas morning. I'm a morning person, but my wife is not. And when I get up in the morning, she immediately says, Alan, you got to calm down. You're too excited. And it takes her a little bit longer. But when you consider God's plan when you get up in the morning, and you start to really stop and think about it, and you know that God's got a plan for you, God's got a path for you to follow, and the Holy Spirit to lead you down that path, and the Bible to refer to every single day, it's right there. I start to get excited when that happens, because I know that if I use the things that He gives me, then I can do the things that are pleasing to Him. See, Satan can put everything in front of me. He can try to get a yoke around me. He can do all those things. But it's not God's desire that I be controlled by a yoke. You guys remember that drama a few weeks ago? We got one that remembers it. Do you remember where Jesus was standing? Right over there. Well, the whole time we watched it, what were you... Don't tell a fib, I know better. You wanted Jesus to run over there and drop kick them guys. Knock them out. And you knew that at some point it was going to change, but... when we were watching Maddie and she was right here and all that evil was around her, she never looked over. Satan had gotten that collar around her and he was standing there talking to her. And she couldn't find him. She wasn't looking for him. Satan had distracted her so badly. Remember, it was dark in here. She couldn't even see the light. See, in Psalms 119, 105, it says, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. See, thy word, lamp unto my feet. What? And a light unto my path. It's crucial that we seek that path. It's not always the easiest path to take. But how many of you cheered when Jesus come in and took care of business? It was like watching a wrestling match in here. He come in, boom, slid in front of everybody, slammed everybody back. In fact, I think somebody got hurt, didn't they? Yeah, it was impressive. I'll say it again. It's not always easy to take the path that God's given us. But He give us Jesus, which is the path. He give us the Holy Spirit and the Bible as heavenly support to spend eternity with Him. And see, we know Jesus loves us because He delivered us from sin. It's not His desire that you wear that yoke. You must have a time when you remember telling the Lord that you want Him to save you. Or these three things that I've mentioned here, only one of them is available to you. If you want that path, you got to know Him. And if you want the Holy Spirit to be a part of your life, you have to be saved. See, I have a fear. It's a legitimate fear. It's a very big fear. And I'm sure you guys share that fear with me. My fear is that I would be here and God would ask me to, or show me to say or tell you something and I would miss it. And if I miss it, that one of you could end up in as bad a situation as that pastor's son. Nobody ever sees themselves in that spot. Nobody ever says, when I go up and I get to be old, I'm gonna be in a world of trouble because of poor decisions that I made. Nobody ever says that. Everybody thinks they're going to be a rocket scientist and make $25 million a year. It goes farther when I tell you that I have a responsibility because I want to give you the absolute truth, but I want you to hear it. And tonight, I'm here to tell you that Satan's out there and he's looking. And if he can, he'll absolutely ruin your life. If he can get that yoke on you, he will. And he'll pull them reins, and you'll go right along with him. But if that's not what you want, if you want to serve the Lord, if you want what the Lord wants for you, you got to look for him. You got to seek him to find out. In just a minute, there's going to be some people singing right up here. If they would, go ahead and come. Well, we're just going to play it on the song? Okay, cool. No singing, I'm sorry. It'll just be a song on the screen. And if you want to come down to this altar, and God's put something on your heart, or the Holy Spirit spoke to you and said, there's a problem, there's a yoke on your back just waiting to be latched, or there's already one on you, or you're afraid it's going to be there, or you just need to talk to God, or you want to be saved. These altars are the place to do it. So if you're ready, we'll go ahead and sing that song. Thank you.
sing.